Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world this morning when you're joining us. This is the Windows 8.1 UX Design Jumpstart. And over the course of the next couple of days, we'll be walking you through how to design an app for Windows 8.1 from start to finish and getting it everywhere from, you know, starting with a concept for the app and taking it all the way through to getting it ready to publish in the Windows Store. My name is Chris Mayo. I'm a user experience evangelist for Microsoft. I do everything from talking at these jumpstarts, and conferences like Build, as well as designing apps with customers, helping them design their first Windows apps. And joining me is Martin Tyrion.
Yeah, I'm a user experience evangelist from Microsoft in the Netherlands. I have a lot of experience with building apps and software, and also helping customers with UX.
Awesome. So, yeah. Great. So if we look at the agenda over the course of the next couple of days, like I had mentioned just a few minutes ago, we're going to be walking through the entire design process for Windows Store apps specific to Windows 8.1. And if you're new to Windows 8, if you're new to Windows, you've never seen it before, no problem. We'll go through the experience itself and then how to design for those experiences. If you've already published an app for Windows 8, we're going to be talking about some of the new experiences that are shipping in Windows 8.1, like the new search features, the new windowing features, some of the new stuff with the start screen and tiles. So regardless of whether this is brand new to you or you have experience, there's going to be a lot of valuable information we're going to be sharing over the next couple of days to really help you design an app that's not only unique and compelling and a reflection of your brand, but also feels like a great native experience for Windows 8.1. Yeah. So here's our agenda for the first day. We'll go through just at a very, very high level on a session about designing user experiences for Windows and kind of give you that 10,000-foot view, kind of give you an idea of kind of the surface area of designing an app for the Windows Store and for Windows 8.1. From there, we'll actually start the process of helping you understand how to kind of step-by-step design your application. So we'll start off with a session called Less is More that'll talk about coming up with a concept for your app, a goal for your app, all the different scenarios and features, so you can be really, really focused from the beginning on what's going to make your app unique and what's going to make your app great. From there, we'll talk about the built-in UI controls, so you know kind of what ships in the box in the platform to help you, you know, create the UI of your app and then what you might need to do as far as like a custom experience. From there, we'll talk about navigation and how to design an app that's really, really easy to navigate so users feel like they can explore safely and find out what makes your app great, always knowing how to get back to the hub screen, how to get back to the start. So again, they feel, you know, safe to explore. We'll take an hour for lunch, depending on where you are in the world. Maybe that's going to be breakfast, maybe that's going to be dinner, but we'll take an hour break there. And then we'll come back, we'll talk about layout. So how do you create a composition for your app that's not only well-structured and has that, you know, high-quality feeling, but also is beautiful and has a great visual design. It really draws people into your app. After that, we'll talk about windowing. So with that beautiful layout, how do you make that beautiful layout look great and work great, regardless of what kind of device you're working on? Like we're on, you know, 23-inch touch devices this morning, but maybe you've got an 8-inch slate, maybe you've got a 10-inch surface, all kinds of devices. Windows runs on all kinds of devices, so we want to make sure that it looks great and works great on all of them. We'll talk about that during the windowing session. On day two, we'll kick off the day, and Martin will be talking about search. Search is an incredibly important feature to any app, so we'll talk about how do you not only create a great in-app search experience for your application, but how do you also integrate into the search experience that's built into Windows 8.1, so some of the smart search features and smart hero, or the search heroes as well. From there, we'll talk about share and how you can enable app-to-app sharing scenarios, participating in the app ecosystem that's built into Windows 8.1. And then we'll talk about the contacts and application or contacts and appointments contract. So how you can integrate into the People app and the Calendar app that's built into Windows 8.1. So you can bring those features into your app so people can, you know, have their contacts and have their calendar and have it just be a seamless integration into your own app when they're dealing with people or dealing with appointments. From there, we'll talk about the start screen and designing a great live tile experience, a great notification experience, and even, you know, participating in the lock screen, being a lock screen app, and how do you design for that. From there, we'll talk about the Windows Store, and not only how you get your app published to the Windows Store, the process and the requirements and so on, but also designing for monetization. You know, do you want your app to be a free trial? Do you want it to be a paid app? Are you going to do freemium? Are you going to do ads? And so on. And all that's supported by the platform, and we'll talk about how to design for it. From there, we'll take another meal break, and we'll wrap up the day just talking about a couple of examples of great Windows Store apps and how they were designed and some of the thought process that went on behind that, some of the iterations that that the teams went through to come up with a design that was a great implementation of, again, that unique creative experience the design team wanted, but also so it felt native to the Windows experience. Okay? So let's get started just talking about designing user experiences for Windows and designing apps for the Windows Store. And really our goal as designers and our goals for this jumpstart is to help you apply the design skills that you already have, maybe doing web or designing for other platforms or like iOS or Android and so on, and help you apply that to Windows. And what we really, really want as designers is we want to create an experience that's an expression of our creativity while feeling native to Windows. So it gives users that experience that's both unique and familiar, right? So if you've got a really, really strong brand, you want to reflect that brand, but you also want that app to feel like it's native to the platform. So users that love Windows and love how search works or love the start screen and how it integrates with live tile updates. It works great on every device that they have, whether it's an 8-inch slate or a 30-inch monitor. These are all things that you're going to be doing in the design, you're going to be learning about over the next couple of days that you can apply to the design of your app.
And the nice thing about that is that they're guidelines, mm-hmm. but it's not a law book, right? It's
exactly.
Not, you have to do this and this and this and then it's right.
Yeah.
It's just something you think about and you keep in mind when you design these kind of experiences within an app.
Exactly. So it's really about your creativity, your uniqueness, and applying it to Windows so it feels like it's a native experience, it's a familiar experience to users. So where I thought we'd start is just to go ahead and do a demo of Windows 8.1 and kind of just show you the experience from a user's perspective. Some folks might not have seen Windows 8.1 yet, so talk about some of the changes, some of the new things that were shipped with Windows 8.1. And then through the rest of the course of the next 2 days, we'll be talking about designing for these experiences. So it's a really great place to start. So I'll start just by hitting my Windows key, and that will take me to the start screen. And you can see here that I have tiles associated with all the different apps on my machine, and I can just go ahead and drag my finger on this 23-inch touchscreen monitor, just pan back and forth and see all the different app groups and all the different apps that I have on my machine, right? And launching an app is just as simple as just touching on the tile, so I'll go into the sports app here. And the first thing you're going to notice about Windows Store apps is they are totally immersive. They take up the entire screen. They're full screen applications. The content flows from edge to edge. And just navigating through the app, it's just a matter of panning back and forth, and I can see different categories of stories and scores, and there's an ad, headlines, and then the ability to look at different sports leagues and videos and so on. And anytime I want to navigate in the app, whether it's just directly to a story, I just tap on it. You can see there's a persistent back button, so I can always makes it really easy to just go back to where I was. So again, that navigation and wayfinding. If I want to go just to a category of stories, I can just tap on the category, and that'll take me to a filtered list of all the stories in that category. And again, I can just go ahead and tap on the story on the Saints here and go through and read the story and just flip through the different pages, right? And whenever I want to go back, I can just tap up to the back here, right? So immersive, really easy to navigate, beautiful content, great structure. These hero images draw me into the stories about the Cowboys for tonight's game and so on, right? And anytime that I want to go back to the start screen, I can just grab from the edge here and hit the start key, or go ahead and hit the start key on my keyboard, and I go right back to the start screen. And you can see if I'm going into some of these different apps like the weather app, again, fully immersive, follows that same kind of a navigation pattern. You can see here, I can see all this information about today's weather. We're getting unseasonably cold here in Redmond. Chance of snow today, which is pretty rare for us, right? And you can see I can just go ahead and launch the app from that tile. Well, there's also the ability you'll notice about these tiles that they're not just icons. They're not just ways to launch the apps. They also communicate information back to me in live tile updates. Like I'm getting updates here of the different cities that I care about, like London and Amarillo, Texas, and Chicago, and so on. And I've got these different kinds of tiles, right, where I've customized them, right, and I go into that customization mode just by holding the tile down, right, and I can change the name of the group, I can change the size of the icon, right, and customize it however I see fit to really make this start screen about me and the way that I work and the way that I play. The other thing that's really interesting about these tiles is they're not just tiles for launching the app. They can also be tiles, what we call secondary tiles or pin tiles, that can take me directly to a piece of content within the app. Like here I can go directly into the Chicago page for Chicago weather. And same thing for London. Yeah, it's very cold there. Right? And I do that just by grabbing the application bar from the bottom of the screen, and you can see here I already have it pinned, so it says unpin from start, but I could go ahead and pin that if it wasn't pinned already. Okay? I just get rid of that, but just by like dismiss. Okay? So you can see here I have tons of apps on my machine, everything from games to video players to news apps and so on. And Windows 8.1 ships with a lot of apps like Bing Sports and Weather and News and so on. If there's other apps that I'm looking for, I just go into the Windows Store. And we'll talk about designing your Windows Store page and how to design your app for monetization and so on. But just right off the bat, you can see I go into the store and I can see all these different featured applications, right? I can see different categories of apps, whether they're games, social, entertainment. So this is something that's new within Windows 8.1 is using Bing, big data and machine learning. You know, the store is actually suggesting apps for me, like it's suggesting Tiny Death Star based on the fact that I like Halo Spartan Assault, right? Yeah, awesome game. It could show you trending apps, new and rising apps, and then top paid and top free. And I actually know that the app that I'm looking for, I'm a huge... you know, Cut the Rope fan. So I'll go ahead and install Cut the Rope on this machine. And you can see here it's, you know, the store listing has a description of the app and it has these really great screenshots to kind of draw me into the app. It's got reviews and details about, you know, why people love this app. I'm going to go ahead and tap on the install button. And then that app will go ahead and install in the background, right? And it's a super easy one-touch install, one-touch removal if I want to install it later, right? And if I go back to the start screen, I'll eventually get a notification that Cut the Rope is installed on my machine. And it's, again, it's just another way that I can put the apps, you know, whether they're games or news apps or social apps or so on, that, you know, make Windows 8.1 really mine and reflect the way that I, you know, play or work and so on. Okay? So if I wanted to start that app right away, you'll see that it's actually installed down here. Let's go by date installed. It's still not installed yet. Let's go back up. So maybe we're on a slower connection this morning, but it'll install here in the background, and we should get a notification here in a second to let me know that it's installed. So that's how you install apps and customize for yourself. If I wanted to search for an app, I can just go ahead and start typing with the new Smart Search ability on Windows. If I want to search anywhere across the system or across the web, from the start screen, I can just start typing, and you can see here I can find apps that are on my machine. I can find settings, like network settings. I can find files, or let's say that I wanted to do a search on San Francisco and be taking a vacation there pretty soon. I can launch the new Smart Search experience. This is the Search Hero page associated with Smart Search. And you can see here it's searching across my entire machine as well as the web. So it's showing me all the different files that I have on my machine that have anything to do with San Francisco, including here some Excel spreadsheets and some PowerPoints as well as some music files. And then giving me Bing information or information from Bing about San Francisco, like what's the weather, the population, integration of apps here. Like you can see in this Search Hero page, you know, we've got maps. If I wanted a map of San Francisco, if I wanted to travel there, if I wanted to launch Wikipedia and learn about the city, you know, I've got some attractions, some events. And then here you can see search results that are pulling through. But they're not just showing me web pages. They're actually showing me app results, right? So I can see for San Francisco, maybe I wanted to get some information on Wikipedia. And if I want to just go ahead and launch the app, it'll take me right to the application, integrate into the search experience. So it's really a fantastic experience for users. We'll talk about how to design for this in your own apps in the search session, right? So it's just a great experience integrated into integrating apps into the search experience. So I can be searching, you know, whether that's across my machine or the webs or looking the web or looking for apps or looking for settings on my machine and so on. And the great thing about it is if you look at some different apps like the sports app, you can see we have this great in context search ability here for in-app search just using this new search bar control. And it provides the same kind of experience that you might have seen with the Windows 8 search pane, but the ability to integrate it directly in the app. So having queries suggestions, or results suggestions, and remembering your search history and so on directly in the app. And you'll see that across apps. Okay? So this is the sports app, right? And if I want to go back to the home screen, I can just go right there to the home screen. Another thing that's new to Windows 8.1 that's really, really exciting is this new windowing support. So the ability to have multiple apps running side by side. And that can happen whether it's a user action, like I'm going to just go ahead and drag this app down and snap it over here to the side. Right? You can see that it reflows itself. So it looks great, you know, even running this half screen mode, right? And Windows 8.1 apps are variable in size rather than being the two fixed sizes, snapped and filled, that we had in Windows 8.1. You can see here down to its minimum, and I can see that it's its minimum when I get down and this gutter stops animating, right? And shows me that if I minimize it anymore, it's going to push it off the screen, right? You can see it does little, you know, tuning to make sure that this picture, this hero picture in the beginning, looks fantastic, right? And if I want to launch another app, I just touch on this other side of the screen, and I can bring up another app like the Reading List app, right? And the Reading List app is used to just bookmark stories from, you know, the web or from information from other apps to go and look at it later, right? And these apps can have a minimum size. The default is 500 pixels down to an optional 320 pixel size. And you can see they can reflow their layout. Like the Reading List app is an app that's used as a multitasking app. You sit there and you have, you know, your stories, your list of stories that you wanted to read during the course of the day that you've stored up. Maybe at the end of the day you're going to go through and read them. So it makes sense for that to be an app that's on the side of the screen quite a bit. So here you can see, you know, if I've got this story here from MSN, not only can users launch multiple windows in order to kind of match their work style or what they're doing that day, but apps can do it as well. So you can see here as I'm tapping on these different news stories, the Reading List app is opening IE to show me another window so I can read that story, right? And apps do a fantastic job of actually reflowing their layout for me, so they always work great and they always look great across the screen. And here's something interesting. I just launched the Mail app, right? And I've got 1366x768 on the screen. If I had even more pixels, like 1920x1080, I could launch more than two apps. But when I launch another app, it asks me where I want to put it, right? So I'm just going to put it here on the left side and I'll make that full screen. And here you can see I can flip through just these different mails that I have here. And again, if I wanted to look at some of these pictures, there's app-to-app communication going on here. You can see that the Mail app reflows itself to fit into that 320 pixel size. And I can just go ahead and flip through these images here. Right? And it gives me a nice little bump to let me know that I'm at the end of the photos. Okay? So we'll talk about designing for multi-windowing support. So your app always looks great and always works great regardless of what the size of the screen is, okay? If we go into IE, there's one more experience that I wanted to show. Let's go to the top of MSN. And let's see if we wanted to take a look at this story. Oops, hit the back button there. About these big storms and stuff like that. And I wanted to share that with someone. We're gonna talk about designing for share and designing for contracts. Here you can see that I'm just going to do an app-to-app share of this story using the Reading List app, right? And what we're doing here is we're using one of the contracts that's built into Windows to have one app, i.e. be the source app, and the reading list being the target app, and do app-to-app communications. So I can just put this in a category and add it, and it'll pass that information off. And if I go into reading list, you can see that that story is available to me. And if I want to just go ahead and read it, I can just tap on it there. Okay, so we'll be talking about designing for contracts as well during that session for share later today. Or actually, that's tomorrow morning,
it's
right?
It's tomorrow, yeah.
Exactly. Okay? So that's Windows 8.1 at a very, very high level. And again, just to give you an idea of the experience, so as we start talking about designing for these experiences, you have kind of a reference point on what you're going to be designing for your users.
Yeah.
Okay? So when we're talking about designing for Windows 8.1 and designing these user experiences, there's four P's or four pillars that we want to really think about. And one is just the principles that we used at Microsoft when we were coming up with the Microsoft design language that we use across all the different platforms that we support, whether it's Windows or Windows Phone or Xbox. And you see a lot of commonality across those platforms, even though each one is kind of tuned for the experience, whether it's specific to being a phone or games for Xbox and so on. Then we talk about the personality. What is the personality that makes up the Windows experience, right? Animation, motion, color, and so on. Then we'll talk about patterns that actually implement that personality and how you can leverage those patterns to make your app more approachable to users and easier for users to actually kind of grok or kind of understand as they install new apps. We'll talk about all this being built into the platform so it's really easy for you to implement when the time comes. Okay? So when we think about that, user experiences designed for Windows are grounded on these sets of design principles. They have a visual and interactive design philosophy or personality that you're going to see that kind of makes it feel like Windows. You're going to be able to base your app off that or build off of that for your users. They exhibit a common user interface patterns that you'll be able to leverage where they fit within your application. If they don't, then you're going to be coming up with your own patterns, but this is a good place to start. And then it's all going to be built on the Windows platform. And all of these principles and personality and patterns are built into the platform, making it really, really easy for you to actually go and implement these things when the time comes. Okay? So what's new in Windows 8.1? Well, Windows 8.1 is based on the same principles of Windows 8. So a lot of the things, if you've already designed a Windows 8 app, a lot of this is going to be very, very familiar to you. And we've actually ramped up the personality quite a bit, more rich and compelling personality, more animation, better use of color within the applications. We have more scalable and flexible and complete patterns, like the new windowing patterns, the new customization on the start screen, the new search patterns. And all that is built into the platform so you can leverage it within your app when you go to build it. Okay? So let's talk about the principles first. So Windows 8.1 was designed based on a few simple to understand principles. And these principles are what we use to really guide us in the design of Windows itself, but also the UX guidelines that we provide to you as designers to understand how you can design your app. So a good place to start within your application. So I thought we would just start off by kind of going through that. So the design principles are pride and craftsmanship, fast and fluid, being authentically digital, doing more with less, and win as one. And we'll go through each of those. So pride and craftsmanship is all about, you know, we as designers being craftsmen really thinking about like pixel level perfection in everything we do. And here you can see a great example of this actually from Windows, when the Windows team goes through and designs every single screen across all the different permutations of how that screen will be viewed, whether it's full screen or being a smaller 320 pixel on the side of the screen and so on. They go through and actually tune to every single pixel, and you can see that in these red lines here. And that's, as we as designers, we're used to doing that, giving users that quality experience just by tuning, every single screen and really going for pixel perfection. So here's a great example of that. You might be looking at this dialogue and we as designers are always asking ourselves as we're reviewing, the apps that come from our designs, is this something we're going to ship? And, when we do design passes here at Microsoft, we'll get a lot of feedback to the team to make sure it's exactly, pixel perfect in every way, like, aligning this left edge of the text or making sure that you use the right size font or, making sure that the focus rectangle is perfectly aligned within the button.
It's always funny when you see this, when you see the explanation here, it's like, oh, yeah, I should have seen that, like the cancel not being in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that. But this is all about the details, right?
Right. I mean, they might seem like subtle things, but users do notice them.
Yeah.
Okay. Another great example is Fast and Fluid. And one of the things that we did with Windows 8 that we, you know, of course, carried over into Windows 8.1 was picture password, right? So when users are standing or walking around with their devices, you know, maybe they have a keyboard, maybe they don't. Just being able to log in and get to what you were wanted to do on your machine, whether it's play a game or read some email or whatever, just having that really fast and fluid experience so I can just think, I want to log in, I start doing what I wanted to do. And picture password is a great example of that, where just through a couple of touch gestures, I can log in on my machine. Because, you know, using a keyboard when you're holding a device and walking around isn't all that convenient.
And still, it's a very complex thing you're doing because you're authenticating yourself, telling who you are. In a very easy way in that scenario.
Exactly. So in your apps, you'll probably be thinking about how can I have the provide the most fast and fluid experience I can for my users so they can get to that scenario and complete the scenario that makes my app unique and compelling. Another great example is being authentically digital and really celebrating the fact that we are pixels on a screen and pixels can create magic, right? So here's a great example. On the start screen, you have this concept of semantic zoom, right? Where I might have tons and tons of information and tons of groups of tiles. If I wanted to see those really quickly and be able to navigate to one individual group without panning all the way through, I can just pinch down and that'll take me directly to pinch down and give me that zoomed out view and give me the ability to zoom in just to the group that I'm looking for, right? Something that you can really only do through the magic of software. The next principle is doing more with less. And a great example here is, again, going from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1, we looked at all sorts of different ways that we could simplify scenarios and make them much more clear. And this is actually an example from Windows 8 where we took the process of buying an app, which was a five-step process, and started looking about into how we could make that a very, very quick and, again, like fast and fluid experience for users. We actually reduced that down to two steps of me just saying that I want to, you know, install this application, and then going back into the browsing experience and getting that notification when the app installs. Okay. The next concept is win as one. So if you think about, you know, all the cool scenarios that apps can enable, one of the things that we wanted to make possible in Windows was this concept of an app-to-app ecosystem. So being able to have apps, like for example, share information without knowing anything about themselves. So here you can see I'm an IE 11 on the left side of the screen. I'm sharing information into the right side. On reading list. These two apps don't know anything about each other, but they enable the sharing scenarios is much more compelling and a much more complex scenario than either of these apps could accomplish on their own or by hard coding. It's just by, you know, implementing a contract within Windows and leveraging that native Windows experience. Okay? And this leads us to this one Microsoft design philosophy. And just if you look at Windows Phone and Windows on the start screen and Xbox, you see a lot of commonalities, even though each one is unique and tuned to the experience that it was designed for. But you can see some commonality between, you know, the fonts, the rich, vibrant colors, the concept of tiles, tile updates, and so on, between Windows 8.1 on the left side and Windows Phone 8 on the right side. Okay? And again, these principles just guide us as a company in the design of our own products. And just understanding them, you'll kind of get a good idea of where we're coming from. And then as you read through some of the UX guidelines or the things that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of days, it'll kind of show you some of the genesis or some of the beginning thinking that guided us through the creation of those guidelines. Okay? So next, let's talk about the Windows personality. And Windows has a very unique personality. It looks like no other operating system that's available. And these different elements really create that personality for the users. And some of these things, you know, are really a wow kind of a thing, and some of them are very, very subtle, but just kind of give you that quality experience or that personality that makes Windows unique. So we're going to talk about composition, typography, color, and motion. So first, let's talk about composition. And with composition, what you really want in your applications is you want that not only quality feel, that crafted feel, but you also want beauty. You want the app to be compelling and interesting to look at. So every time, you know, someone launches your app, they're just delighted. They just, you know, love the look of it. And you see that here in the search hero on the left, as well as, you know, reading list here on the right. Now, composition within Windows applications is based on a 20-pixel grid. And that 20-pixel grid, as we'll talk about in the windowing session, is important when we start thinking about scaling applications, you know, from 8-inch screens all the way up to 30-inch screens. So making them look great on different devices. We have a consistent silhouette across applications. The templates ship with a built-in silhouette. This is a good place to start. You can tune this to your scenarios and the composition of your app. But having it be consistent across all the different pages gives you that real quality feel. You know, the user knows exactly where to look to find that first pixel of content within your app. And as they're switching from screen to screen, the title always stays in the same place and so on. So you'll see this across all of our applications built into the templates. And again, it's a good place to start for your app. But that consistency doesn't have to be boring or rigid. You can see it can be very lifelike and vibrant. In this example of a soccer application, this app is laid out in a grid. It has a consistent silhouette across all the different pages, but it feels alive. Having that soccer player and the soccer ball breaking out of that grid makes it feel very dynamic and kind of gives you that feeling of athleticism and motion from the sport. But if you were to, you know, go through and paint red lines on all the different screens in this app, you'd see that it has a consistent grid and a consistent silhouette across all those pages, again, giving that quality feel.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of the new guidelines for 8.1, mm-hmm. that we have more emphasis on what you can do and use your creativity.
Right.
So there's just some guidelines, but right. you can be very creative and not see boxes everywhere,
right.
But just have that creative feel and show your visual brand.
Yeah. And the templates are a great place to start, but they're not necessarily where you want to end up, right?
Exactly.
And you can see that if you look at a couple of different apps here, even the built-in apps. Like, I'm just going to go into the store application right here and go to the start screen. I'm sorry, the home screen or the hub screen of this app. And you can see here a beautiful composition with great structure here. So, you know, I've got all these different elements. Let me go back to the home screen. You can see here I have these featured apps here in a flip view. I have all these different categories like music and video and so on. And you can see that as I'm panning through these different sections, each section has its own composition, right, that's tuned for the information that I'm showing, right? Whether it's calling out these apps in the picks for you section or, you know, smaller detailed content items for the top paid and the top free apps. And it's consistent across different pages, right? So I've got, like here, another area where I'm showing featured apps. And then you can see these trending within the games category follows that same composition. And there's some neat visual elements going on here as well to show the personality of the store app, like this divider between the different sections, having that graphical element there to kind of just show a little bit of visual interest, and it's on brand for the color for the store app and so on. And even if I go down into an individual page, again, the composition of the app is tuned for, you know, looking at and finding out about, you know, Monsters Love Candy to a point where I know where I want to install it or not. But it still has that consistent silhouette, right? And some other neat things, like if you look at some of these apps like the reading list, this is essentially just a grid of information. It's using the new self-spanning feature to create a little bit of visual interest where, you know, different elements are different sizes depending on what the content is. And then we're using these beautiful colors at the top to communicate not only different sections, right, from the items I added yesterday from last week and so on, but also showing time. So the color gets darker as I go further back into the application. So just some of the things that we're going to be looking at when we go through the layout session and talking about composition and how to make an app that's structured and high quality, but also visually interesting and, you know, beautiful.
Yeah.
Next is typography. And using type to you know, make your app readable and make, you know, beautiful clear type that's easy to read and beautiful. Something that's just built into the platform. But you can also use it to communicate structure, information structure, as well as communicate, you know, an element of your brand here. So ESPN versus the Cinderella app versus Expedia, they're using different fonts to kind of tune what they're trying to communicate with their brand. Now, when we talk about typography within Windows, we talk about a type ramp. And again, this is communicating structure. The size and weight of a font for a heading is different from a subheading to kind of give you that outline or give you that hierarchy within the application. This is the built-in type ramp that ships with the templates. You can start with this. You can use this or you can just start with it. It's always good to use a subset of fonts and sizes, again, to provide that informational structure, and we'll talk about that in the layout session. But just as a beginning, you can kind of get a feel for these different sizes and weights fonts communicating a sense of structure to the app. And here's a great example of that. If I look at an early version of this SkyDrive dialog, that's talking about me, you know, managing my SkyDrive and I need some more capacity because I've filled it all up. This dialog isn't bad, right? But just the tuning composition and fonts a little bit in this later iteration of the dialog, you can see that the dialog suddenly becomes very, very clear and very, very easy to read. I see that I have 7 gig total. I only have 1.1 gig left. And just by tuning the composition and tuning the fonts, it's really easy for me to see that, you know, the decision I need to make. I need to buy more storage or get some, you know, get rid of some of the files that are in my SkyDrive account, right? And just setting the, you know, that 7 gig total to a 42-point font and then, you know, 20 for the 1.1 kind of provides that hierarchy. It makes it easy for my brain to kind of grok the information that's on the screen. Okay? So just as a quick example of that, if you look at the alarms application, you know, this app is all about time. And if you look at the different sizes and weights of the fonts across, you know, alarms and the timers and the stopwatch, you can see that I'm using, you know, time is the most important element. What's the largest font that's on this screen? It's the time elements, right? And then it's the title, and then it's how often it goes, you know, how often that alarm goes off and so on. So I'm using that size and the weight of the font to communicate something through typography. So it's not just beautiful and easy to read, tuned for a great screen experience, but it also communicates something about the app and guides me into the use of the app and the scenarios. Okay. The next you'll notice about Windows in itself and its personality is the use of color. And it's not just, again, making it beautiful. Like Windows, our personality is all about rich, vibrant, saturated colors like you'll see here in the Alarm app. Another great example of the use of color here is this Foursquare app and how they're communicating, you know, the brand through color. But this is something that, you know, our personality is vibrant, saturated colors, using, you know, transparencies and so on within the use of color in the layout. You're going to have your own color scheme according to your brand that you'll reflect through the app. And it just gives that communication of what the app's about, right, just using color. So if we look at an example of that, I think that reading list example is a great example. Where if I go into reading list, I've got all these different categories, or I've got pink or magenta color that I'm using within the app. And it's not just there to provide the brand of the app, but it's actually used to communicate something about the app. And that's the time these news stories were added. You can see I've got a lot of reading to do, so I should probably get on that tonight. The next is motion, and I've got a couple of videos here that show these elements of motion. And one is just a HUD screen with a couple of grid view controls, and you can see here that we use animation to communicate personality for the app, making Windows and your apps feel alive, but it's also used to communicate information to the user. You can see that these news stories, in the first example, animate in top to bottom, left to right, telling the user that there's more information off to the right of the screen. You know, you can see here in the peak, right? Here's another great one, using animation to communicate the result of an action, like drag and drop. So if I take that, you know, one news story and move it around to customize the screen for myself, just providing a subtle animation to users kind of tells them the result of their action. It's going to place that news story between the other two, right? And we use animation throughout Windows to communicate elements of user action as well as information to users. It's built into, it's a common pattern that's built into the platform. You can use it with the built-in UI controls. You can customize it with the animation library to do something, you know, unique to your app. But motion's a very important part of the personality. Okay? So a couple of great examples here, if I just go into the alarms application, when I turn these alarms on and off, right, they not only change the color, but that's, there's that beautiful animation that sweeps through the minutes and the hour to communicate that element of time, just like a sweeping, you know, second hand does on a watch, right? So it's something to communicate the not only information within an app, but it's also that personality of the app. Same thing if I go to just the calculator app here. You can see as I switch between the different categories, everything animates in from top to bottom and left to right, just communicating that switch between the different features to the user, right? And it's one of those things that's maybe kind of subtle, but really add some personality and add some life to your application rather than the pixels just plopping on the screen. And again, it's easy to do via the platform and the libraries that are built into Windows. Okay? So next, let's talk about some of those patterns that implement these elements of personality so you can leverage these patterns within your own application, you know, where you see fit, or just build on top of them for something that's unique to your app. So we're going to go through a number of different patterns over the next couple of slides, and you'll go into these more deeply during the next few sessions. But the first thing that we want to talk about is just UI controls. So Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 ship with a large number of built-in controls, everything from simple widgets like, you know, a button to some really sophisticated scenario controls like the app bar and the grid view. Just understanding what these controls are and how they work and the things that are built into them, like the animation, touch support, as well as support for mouse and keyboard, all these different capabilities, it's fantastic because a lot of the common patterns and personality are built right into the controls. So you can get those just for free, just by leveraging the controls that are built into the platform. They're also there for you to build on top of. So not only just styling them to look, to reflect your brand look like your app being unique and having its own personality, but you can also build on top of them to create entirely new experiences. Like that radial control that shows the time in the alarms app is actually a slider control that was just customized, right? So a great example of how you can get a lot of stuff just for free out of the box and then tune it to be really unique and compelling for your own application.
Yeah, and the beauty of that is that then it's very easy for developers and designers to work together.
Exactly.
Because the designer is just focusing on how beautiful it is or what the animation is or how it's styled or how it's laid out. And for the developer, it's still like a slider or it's a button or something like that, something he knows how to respond to and load data into.
Exactly. And even if you're not a developer, even if you're just a pure designer, understanding these controls and how they work and what they do gives you an idea of understanding what part of this application is going to be an out-of-the-box free thing or what might be like a custom experience that I really want to focus on like they did in the alarms app with that dial control. Okay. The next pattern are the navigation patterns. You could see as I was going through different applications, they all follow a very common navigation pattern. And whether that's the hub screen, you know, of having that home screen for the app that shows all the different scenarios and a layout that draws me into the application, or using that navigation bar to navigate around the app so I can quickly switch between different sections of, you know, sports, whether I want to go to football or baseball or basketball and so on. And then in-app search, just a really, really common way of users finding what they're looking for and diving into your scenarios. These are all common patterns that you're going to see in the apps. We're going to go through these within the navigation and within the search session. So it's something you can build on top of within your application and just use the pattern just right out of the box. Or if you're going to do something custom and new, just understanding it, your users will understand it. So if you understand it, you'll know where to start when you're building something unique. So let's just look at a couple of examples of those. So I'm going to go and show you just the hub pattern is really, really common. You'll see it in apps. I'm just going to go to the home screen here. Right? And the hub pattern is all about surfacing the content and the scenarios in your app on a single page to kind of draw you into the application. In the store, what do they want you to do? They want you to find that next app that you're going to love. So how do they do that? Well, they have these featured apps here that they show you what's new and happening within the store. right, that you can flip through. They have all this category lists that I can see here, all the different categories, helping me navigate into, I'm looking for a game, right, and let's go find out what the new hot game is. Right, you can see this persistent back button makes it easy for me to kind of explore and know how I can get back to the hub screen, how I can get back to that home screen. Right, I can navigate into different categories to see just the picks for you. Right, and then I can just search through the app, navigate through the app just by browsing, into categories or into pages, finding the apps that I'm looking for. Right, but if I'm a sophisticated user and I'm used to using the store and going and finding apps or trying out apps, if I wanted to jump to an individual session or section, I can just go ahead and drag from the top of the screen or right-click on the screen if I'm using the mouse and show the navigation bar, right? Which gives me a quick jump into any area of the app, right? Whether it's Picks for You, Top Paid, and so on. And that's just a common pattern that you're going to see in apps. Again, you can leverage it within your application and build on top of it to create a navigation scheme that makes it really easy for people to find your content and immerse themselves in your scenarios. And just really fall in love with your app and what your app's about, right? So another great example of that would be that navigation bar. And we saw that within the Windows Store. If you go into like the sports application, you can see, again, it's really, really common. I can go directly into the app, and if I wanted to just, you know, learn about what's happening in basketball today, I can just click on that category and go directly there. And that navigation bar is just a confidence builder for users. They know that it's always going to be there at the top. As they get more used to the app and understand, you know, how the content's structured and laid out, they can get anywhere in the app just super, super quick to start enjoying the app and using the scenario. And same thing with in-app search, right? So if I wanted to find something within my reading list, right, I can just start typing, right? Start typing, and it's going to show me, we're going to do, this is actually a type to search built in on this list page, which is a really easy way for users to just launch the app and find exactly what they're looking for. And that's a really, really common pattern, not only in-app search, but also type to search. And we'll talk about that when we're talking about the search session tomorrow morning. Yep. But just a really common pattern. Help people find what they're looking for in your app and get started in their scenarios. Okay. Commanding patterns are very common across applications. Again, understanding them and building on top of them is going to make your app easy for users to understand and immerse themselves in. There's a couple of different common patterns that we're going to see as we talk about UI controls and talk about layout and so on. But on-page commanding, just putting the core scenarios directly on the page and making it super easy for people to find the features or that they're looking for, like here in the alarm apps, turning on that alarm and turning off that alarm, just putting it right there directly on the page. Core scenario is something people are going to do all the time, make that really direct and honest and easy to discover. App bars are transient UI for putting, you know, lesser used commands and making them super accessible and easy to find, but not so you have to see them all the time because they're non-core scenarios. We'll talk about those when we talk about laying out app bars and designing, you know, on-page commanding versus off-page commanding. Those app bars automatically support scaling, which is a great feature. So as you build out your app bars and start using them, you know, whether it's a full screen app or using half the screen or even that 320 pixel minimum, they're always going to work great and support your core scenarios. And then talking about creating app bars that have rich content beyond just app bar buttons, like you see in IE or Sound Recorder and so on. These are common patterns that you'll see in applications that if you understand them, you can leverage them within your own app. So on-page commanding, probably the best example is this alarm app. Just turning on the alarm and turning it off is just directly just touch on the screen because we knew, you know, users designing that app, that'd be a core scenario of turning on and turning off the app. And if they wanted to go in and, you know, edit and modify that, putting the commands for whether I want to save the changes or discard them or delete it just right here on the screen so I can see exactly what they are, easy to discover, easy to understand. Right? Other great examples of on-page commanding, if I go to the desktop here, I've got a photo, right? And if I go into editing mode here, you can see that we put all the different editing options directly on the page. So you could not only see what they were, right, and understand the different editing options you have, but you can also see their effect right away. And it's just very, very direct, easy to discover, right? So if I'm changing things like contrast, I've got this really great radial control that I can use to change that and modify that and see the effect, right? And it gives me that feeling of a dial. It's just a great control. Great job they did with that. Okay. For app bars, probably one of the best examples of some of the things that you can do with app bars, if you go to the Sound Recorder app. Here's an app that if I'm looking at a recording, right, you can see I have an app bar here. And this is not just app bar buttons, but you can see here I've got a bunch of different controls. Like I've got this progress control to show me, you know, as I'm playing through or pausing or searching to an individual part of the sound recording. I've got this trim control that I can use to trim the beginning and the end, you know, of the sound recording. And if I take this app and take it to be half screen, you can see that the app bar automatically drops those labels for me. And this is something the app bar does automatically, just built into the platform. Then I can adjust the layout to make sure that my app bar always supports my core scenarios, even if I'm just running in a 320 pixel window. So just a great example of some of the things that you're going to see as far as common patterns for commanding with app bars. Okay. Presenting data patterns. These are really, really common across applications. So things like panning, that rather than having, you know, 20 pages of content on that hub screen or 20 pages I have to navigate through, having a hub page that I can just pan through and see all the content at once and then, you know, decide where I want to go within the application. Cell spanning. So in the reading list app, you know, I've got cells within these grids that are different sizes. And I vary their size, vary the content that's within them to get that visual interest within the application. Being able to support vertical grid views, this is new within the grid view control, so it's very easy for me to, you know, have a layout that's tuned to my particular scenario, like the Xbox Music app is a vertical pan. So I'm, you know, panning through my music collection. You know, I might have thousands and thousands of albums. And then drag and drop, just another great example of something that's built into the control, very common pattern that you can leverage within your application. Okay, so if we look at the reading list app, just as an example, we've seen this app a couple times this morning, but you can see that this is actually just, the entire app is just a grid control. But they created some visual interest with the colors and breaking up the different categories, and then these different news stories or different things that I've shared in my reading list, they vary in sizes using cell spanning. So it's a little bit more interesting than just having, you know, just a block of tiles and, you know, a three by two layout, right, for each group. Okay. Another great example, if you look at, you know, the mail application here, right, one of the things that we can do with these apps is just flip through the different mail that I have, right? But then if I wanted to select these, you know, if I have a mouse and keyboard, I can just use this checkbox control. But if I was on a device, one of the common patterns is just like cross-swiping to select these items, right? And that's built into the control. It's a common pattern that people will be used to. And one of the things that's interesting about this is that we can actually drag it and just drag it right off and get built-in drag and drop support if I wanted to put it in one of these, you know, folders over here and so on, right? And that's some of the common patterns that are built into the controls, that understanding them and the fact they're built into the platform, it's easy for me to leverage them within my own application. So touch patterns, another common set of patterns that users are going to learn once and understand then use throughout the applications. And you'll notice as we go through a lot of these different apps and some of these, you know, different scenarios or design elements for Windows Store apps, that there's a common touch language that you use across all the different applications. And there's eight gestures, right? Users learn these once and they just use them and just assume they're going to be available or that's how they're going to use the apps. And it kind of gives users a sense of confidence. They don't have to learn a new touch language for every single app or every single app publisher. The other great thing about these is they're built into the platform controls. So once users learn them and expect them, it's easy for you to provide them because they're just built into the controls. So here are the different language elements of touch within Windows 8.1. You probably didn't even notice. I was just kind of just seamlessly using the touch screen on this machine. But tap for primary action invokes that primary action like navigate or select. Press and hold to learn, like seeing a tooltip or to see that I can take that tile and put it into customization mode and change its size and so on. Slide to pan, so panning back and forth on pages. Used to just like slide through a list or through a grid view and so on. Cross slide to select, you saw that in the mail where I just slid my finger perpendicular to the panning direction and it selected the item. So I could, you know, put it in editing mode or drag and drop it and so on. That'll supply or show the app bars for contextual commands. Right. Cross slide to move, that drag and drop. If I just keep pulling, it'll move it into a drag and drop mode and I can move it around. Pinch and stretch to zoom, so pinching down to go into semantic zoom or optically zooming in and out, like on a photo or on a map. And then turn to rotate, right? Like if I was in a puzzle game and I was turning the puzzle pieces around to fit them together, like puzzle touch. Just grab it, start turning. Right? And then the edges are very common gestures that are used by the system. So right edge to grab the charms, like you'll see here. Oops, let's go back up. Right? To show the charms. If I wanted to grab up from the bottom to show the app bars or from the top to show the app bars, and then switching amongst apps just by grabbing from the left-hand edge, right? So those edges are things that users are going to expect within your applications, like to show the app bars or switch between apps and so on. So just understanding them in your application is going to make it really easy for people to kind of understand and use your application, right? So if we go to just the start screen, of course, you know, tapping on these items to select them or to launch the application, selecting items just by cross-swiping. Right. If I go into an app like, or if I wanted to go into semantic zoom, just pinching down, right, and going to different groups here. Right. These are all common gestures, the pan and so on, grabbing from the edge to show the app bar. Users are just going to learn this within a few minutes of having Windows, and they're going to expect it within your application. So as you understand it and design for it, it's going to make your life a lot easier. Okay. And then finally, let's talk about the platform. So we've talked about the principles of Windows that lent to the personality of Windows as far as the animation and the color and so on, the way that Windows kind of just looks and feels. And we talked about some really common patterns. Well, all of that is built into the platform. So whether you're using C# or C++ on top of XAML or using HTML5 with JavaScript and CSS to create your application, the libraries that are provided to you to build your applications, all this stuff is baked in. So again, it's a great place for you to start and get a lot of this for free, and then tune and customize the experience to make your app unique and different based on, you know, your brand or your scenarios and so on. So it's really a great story for me as the designer and working with my development teams. I can look at the places where I can get some stuff for free just by using the platform, and then really focus on the things that my app's going to be unique and different, and really spend a lot of time there to create that truly crafted experience that really is going to make my users just fall in love and be delighted with the app and want to, you know, install it and tell their friends and rate it really highly and make me a successful app publisher. Okay? So regardless of what platform you're using, these capabilities are built into the platform and you can leverage them within your app. Okay? So when we started off the session, we talked about the different principles or the different pillars of designing for Windows 8.1 and designing Windows Store apps. We talked about the fact that Windows 8.1 user experiences are grounded on a set of design principles. The same design principles that we had for Windows 8, they're still what's guiding us in our design language here within Microsoft. And these apps, you know, whether they're the Windows experience itself, or apps that we ship, they're built on a design personality, animation, color, typography, composition. It's a great place for you to start understanding that personality so you can build on top of it and when you're creating an app that is unique to you and unique to your brand, showing off your creativity. You can also leverage the built-in patterns, these user interface patterns like touch, like navigation, commanding, again, these are things that you can kind of leverage as a pattern and fall back on. Users are going to understand them. They're going to expect them. Or for you to build on top of, to do something, again, unique and interesting that no one's ever seen in a Windows Store app or on a mobile touch app in general. And all this stuff is built into the Windows platform. So you can leverage what's there. It's built in and just get it for free out of the box. Or you can decide exactly where you want to tune that experience to create something that's unique and compelling. Okay. So resources for this, the Windows Design Center is probably the place to start to get it getting started for designing Windows 8 apps. All the guidelines, tons of resources and downloads are available there.
Maybe it's easier to remember design.windows.com instead of this very
exactly
nice URL.
I must have a copy-paste error there. And then the Windows 8.1 feature guide for UI UX is another great example of just kind of showing what's new in Windows 8.1 within designing your apps, right? Okay. So I think we have a couple of questions. So we'll take a couple of questions. I know we're running a little bit over, but we'll take a couple of questions here before we go through the break. So when installing new apps, they are no longer appear on the home screen and must be pinned to the start screen. Why? The feedback that we got from users was that they didn't automatically want to elevate every single app that they installed on the system to being featured on their start screen. So it is something that's new that when you install an application, you do have to pin it to the top to pin it to the start screen. All apps are just a simple slide away down here, and if you want to pin them, you can pin them just by pressing and holding and pinning it to the start screen. And that was really just for feedback. I mean, the users were telling us that start screen is kind of where they live within Windows, and they wanted to decide what apps got pinned there. So what if we want to show, the question is, what if we want to show the app bar on pages of an app except the home page? Well, you can determine where you want to put app bars within your apps. It's based on the content and the scenarios. Is it all core scenarios, like in the alarm apps, there are no app bars. Or there are some scenarios that are lesser used in non-core scenarios. It's really up to you. So you can put these app bars, wherever you want on whatever pages within your app. Generally, if you're going to do a navigation bar, you should have that across all the pages so users can rely on that and know it's going to be there and available. But for commanding app bars, it's really about, is there commanding to be had within that page? Okay, so great. That is designing Windows 8.1 app user experiences. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to come right back and talk about less is more. So thanks.